Downloading.
Downloading. Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
So what if your past does define you? We're talking with Casey Van Norman today on SOS Radio. Casey, when you dig into your story, you had all the things that you didn't want to write a book about happen. But God's used those to define who you are today, not defining who you were.
You know, the big crux of the book and where I'm pressing in on some kind of tender spots of our terminology and language we use a lot in the church. And I've been a professional counselor for 20 years and a Bible teacher for 20 years. And so I would find myself hearing more and more us using this phrase that I get it. It's well-meaning. I understand what we're saying, that our past does not define us. Our identity is in Christ alone, and don't look back, move forward. And you're not going behind you, so keep going forward. I get what we're saying. But as a counselor who knows how the brain works and our body works, and also just reading through Bible, I could never land on a peaceful situation with this statement that it was not the most helpful, especially for someone like me, who has had so much backstory in her life and really have, for the majority of my Christian life, not an unbeliever over here just living, you know, rebellious, living, doing what I want to do, but somebody who sincerely wants to know God, loves God, believes that I need to be saved. And here I am just wrestling with some of the deepest, darkest pits of sinfulness and despair and scandal in my own life.
We're talking about how God uses the stuff that we normally wouldn't with Casey Van Norman today on SWS Radio. And Casey, you wrote a book, and it's a lot about your life. Nothing's wasted. God uses every element of that. It defines our future.
It's really true. And I really believe that when we do the work of integration, when we do the work of looking back to go forward, and we believe that our past can tell us the truth about who God wants to be to us, that there is some profound freedom that we find there. Because now, in looking back, and for me personally, looking at things like the abandonment of my father when I was a child and watching alcoholism run rampant through my household and just a really volatile, loud, chaotic home life, and then moving into my teenage years, questioning, can I really feel, am I really safe to say the hardest thing that I'm thinking right now about God? And, you know, when feelings are just equated to weakness in my home, and to go into my teenage years, and as a young 15-year-old girl, I was raped by an older man in my community. And what that did is not so much the story of the experience, but how it solidified this lie that I had been questioning in my heart for so long, that am I really worth it? You know, am I going to be accepted at the end of the day, and then suddenly feel at 15 years old like used material, and then use everything's got as far as a Band-Aid fix under the sun to try to fill that gaping wound within me?
So Casey, looking back at your experience, for those that sort of are looking for those Band-Aid fixes and trying every other thing they can through chemicals or through what they eat or what they choose to worship that's outside of the scope of God, what can you say to someone who's going through that right now, trying to self-medicate?
It's really the same lie that we're all believing, whether it looks like we are just shopping and running up debt on our credit cards. That can become a form of a lie and dysfunctional pattern of sabotage that we do, from me personally as a teenager, just living a very promiscuous lifestyle with other guys and tampering with drugs and going into my marriage, even carrying all these wounds. It's the same lie on repeat that Satan used on Eve at the very beginning. It's four words, and we're all saying them every day. Did God really say, did God really say at the end of the day, at the end of myself, if I give him my most honest place, that I will be fully accepted and seen and known in him? And when we start to question that promise is when we really start to tamper internally first with the lie, but then that turns into behaviors, you know, that we feel like are going to medicate or soothe the ache or the pain or that absence that we feel of that loss, but ultimately just end up keeping us in bondage, in more slavery. And then that leads to depression, to isolation, to despair. And that's really where I'd find myself, Scott, as I was a young woman being married, a leader in the church, teaching Bible study and everything perfect on the outside and inside, I was just crumbling apart.
We're talking with Casey Van Norman today at SWS Radio. We're talking about how God uses the stuff that you wouldn't. She has a new book. It's called Nothing's Wasted. And just a minute ago, you were talking about carrying brokenness from a rough past into a marriage. Now, Casey, what is the best way to start to work through that with your husband so you can be on level playing field when you say, you know what, there's a lot of things I experienced that he didn't, but let's get that out there and work through that together.
It starts with forgiveness every time, Scott, and I go through the steps of true biblical forgiveness in the book. And that was, for me, growing up in the Bible Belt of the world, East Texas, it was really easy to be a Christian. And in fact, despite what all my other behaviors would say, I used going to church and religion as the drug of choice. I mean, that was the one that really made me feel like I had my act together on the outside. To be able to preach to everybody else grace, 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 and unconditional love and mercy, and to go through the motions of spirituality. And so we've got to learn the line there. And this is what really leads us into healing and to do the hard work, is that we can talk about God's grace all day long, and there may be a knowledge base that we have about who we think he is or who we think others or ourselves are. But to really grasp and come to terms with him as our reality is to receive grace for ourselves. So maybe someone listening right now just needs to say, look, I can tell everyone else about how much I love Jesus, but down deep, the lie is, I don't really know if he loves me back. And to come to terms with that reality was where I had to get. And we all have to realize it's going to be a crash and burn situation for that to take place, because everything we think we know has to crater for us to really see eyeball to eyeball the reality of the unconditional love of Jesus Christ.
We're talking about how God uses the pain and the mistakes of our past to bring purpose into our future. We're talking with Casey Van Norman today at SWS Radio. And a common lie a lot of us believe one time or another is the arch of our story is either too boring or it's too scandalous to be significant to God. And you write a lot about that in your new book, Nothing's Wasted, Casey.
I do. I just want us all to find the freedom and the position and the promise in Jesus to look back and know that that's okay, and it's healthy, and it's good, because God is using our story, not somebody else's story. And if anybody who would want to dismiss or downplay or water down their story, it's me. I mean, I am the woman who was having an affair with her best friend's husband for an extended period of time in the church as a leader on staff at church, and to have this thing in a very small community blow up and then face the consequences of what that is. And everybody, you know, that lives in a small town right now is going, oh, goodness gracious, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a train wreck. It was horrible to be the girl that you said you would never become, and to feel like you had this mark on your forehead, that you had to creep in the back of church now. And anyway, just this lie that you said you would never be is true of you. But for my husband, and this is our story, and this is how God became radically real to me and how grace became real to me, as I was at the end of every lie and my husband stood in as Jesus incarnate and said these words to me, Casey, I don't know how to not love you. These were the words my husband spoke to me, full of the Spirit. He will be the first to say, not of him. But in that moment, that's where Jesus, his reality, his love really fully came to all of my senses and integrated my whole person. And I realized this is what Jesus is saying to every single one of us every single day. I don't know how to not love you. I am here to love you. It's all I know how to do. And I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to pursue you, and I'm going to use every part of your story to remind you that that is the work that I was sent here to do and will always do.
Casey, we've seen so many pastors fall into infidelity or scandal in the church recently. And as someone who's lived through that on the other side of it, what would you say to the Christians that automatically want to be judgy and talk about it and gossip about it, but looking at the person who actually has fallen into temptation, who has to deal with this and has the repercussions of their family, who's trying to own the consequences, how do we work to lead those people in our church who have made some mistakes to a place where they can actually have a real relationship with Jesus again without just driving them further in the other direction?
You know, I am guilty of this too, of doing a poor job of handling just sinfulness. And there is hurt and there is wounding. It is a real thing. And you will read in the book, there's no downplay of the painful consequences of my choices. And this is no pass to go out and sin so that we'll know the grace of God. But it is true that every single one of us, when we see one another through the lens of grace, when we truly, truly come to terms with the cross of Jesus and what he's done for us, then it is level playing field. There is no more level playing ground than at the foot of the cross, and we all stand there evenly. And when we can love like that, that would be my encouragement to the church as a whole, is to love others without need of return, to know that our call is to go in and bear the burden. I mean, that is a scriptural command, that we're not just kind of picking it up, that we're kind of just praying from you from over here and we're watching you from afar as you carry this thing. No, we're scripturally commanded to bear, to pick it up with someone in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their suffering. So what would that look like for us to sincerely walk into someone's adultery, walk into someone's pornography addiction, walk into a divorce, and weather that storm with them by bearing it? It means we're going to have to risk our reputation. We're going to have to risk what other people think. And this is exactly what Jesus shows us over and over in the way that he interacts with people all throughout the course of his life.
We're talking with Casey Van Norman today at SOS Radio, and she has lived through a lot of broken childhood, public infidelity, cancer, but it's led her to question how God can use her past to develop something new, to bring truth back around, to be an encouragement to others. And in your book, Nothing's Wasted, you say that the groundwork to our identity is actually laid in how we did or did not attach to our parents as a kid. I mean, how does that happen? How does God use our childhood beliefs to draw us to himself as we mature?
So important to look back at our childhood, at our parents. We can take so much heart and hope in Acts 17, where we are told that our dwelling place, our neighborhood, our place on the map, who we are born to, the literal household, is completely predetermined and designed by God. We're raised with the people that we were meant to be raised by. But in that, we are developing a language of how we love and how we experience the world and how we relate to God. And very early on in our childhood, we are either attaching to this love that feels safe and we know we're wanted, and safety, for the record, it just means that we know we can be our full self, our most honest version of ourselves, without that being used against us. And some of us grew up in a household where that was the case, and some of us did not. And that really does a number on who we become and how we relate to God. So at some point in our life, we've got to make the choice to look back and go, okay, how did me attaching to this love or not as a child, as a teenager, how is that affecting how I love now as an adult?
We're talking with Casey Van Norman today at SWS Radio. We're just talking about how we attach or we don't attach to our parents as kids. And Casey, as you've studied this as a professional counselor and you lead a nonprofit called Northway Farms where you help with homeless women, what have you learned about attachment? As a parent, you feel like, my kids aren't really as attached to me. I just don't know that we have that natural charisma sometimes. I have to be the disciplinarian. I'm not the fun parent, or I'm always the one holding them accountable and I don't want to make them rebel, but I've got to give them truth and I've got to hold them to this place or they're just going to kind of go awry.
Yeah, so important, Scott. It's such important work. And I just want to encourage all the parents out there. I'm 40 years old. I have an 11-year-old, a 14-year-old, and it's so much harder for me to be an intentional parent than my husband, who was raised in a very close-knit, healthy family dynamic, versus myself, who's had to really work for that and was on my own at 16, out of the house, working three jobs and living on my own. So I've really had to learn how to be a parent and learn how to be intentional with my children. And the best advice I can give on that is just grace. Just constant graciousness. And grace looks like discipline. And grace looks like saying the hard thing sometimes. But grace also looks like being intentional and mindful of how what we believe about ourselves is affecting our children. And knowing that they are receiving these messages that we are giving them. We are teaching them how to love or not love others. It is a high, heavy responsibility. And I just pray that we can all submit ourselves to the scripture every single day so that we can do it better every day.
I love how you talked about grace requires us to do some things and have some tough conversations, and grace is discipline. I mean, grace isn't a passive word like culture wants to make it. It's a verb.
Yeah. It's only access through the Holy Spirit, right? And so if you think about what it really is, I mean, we just kind of throw it around and over-spiritualize the word, but it's such an all-consuming, eternal word that requires access to the Holy Spirit to even be valid to work in our life. So we're not just naturally choosing this thing. We're not just waking up every morning. I mean, our default position is sinner. Our default position is self, 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 what I want, when I want. And grace is saying, what is helpful to the other person? How does the other person receive love? How do they feel valued? And how can I serve them? That doesn't come naturally to us. So we have to open the word of God, and we have to let the one thing that's greater than us. There's got to be something greater than all this self-help, self-care, self-forgiveness in the world. There's got to be something that trumps that. And it is a living, active sword that goes into the bones and the marrow of our being and reveals to us the secret, sacred places of our heart that we don't even know yet. And so we've got to trust the word of God. We've got to yearn for the word of God. We've got to get up every single morning and make an intentional effort to let our feelings catch up with the fact that we've got to open the Bible and we just got to read until his opinion becomes greater than our own.
Yes. We're talking with Casey Van Norman today on SWS Radio. She has a new book. It's called Nothing Wasted. God uses the stuff you wouldn't. Thanks for sharing with us today, Casey.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
You're good to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.